Let's continue where we left off in our study in Revelation chapter 15 by looking once again at verse 4. Revelation chapter 15, verse 4. And it begins, "Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest." Now, I would like to deal with verse 4, perhaps in a little more practical manner than what you might be expecting. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord? I would like to direct your attention to three passages. We'll turn back, please, into the Old Testament, to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, chapter 36, or the 36th Psalm, verse 1. Psalm 36, verse 1. "The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, that there is no fear of God before his eyes." The psalmist says, the problem with the wicked, he's saying, I'm saying this in my heart, the problem, the transgression of the wicked is, there is no fear of God before his eyes. Verse 2, "For he flattereth himself in his own eyes, until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good." Turn with me, please, over into the New Testament, to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 10, our Lord is speaking, and in the midst of what he's saying, note please verse 28. "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." If you turn, please, to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31. "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Now, in all three of these passages, you've seen some aspect of fear being mentioned. There is no fear of God before his eyes. Fear him that hath power to destroy both soul and body in hell. A fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now, I can't help but note how strident a discord that sounds in light of the God is love preaching that has come to permeate any teaching on God at all. The holiness of God and the righteousness of God and the judgment of God is something that is politically incorrect. Well, you can't draw people, you can't make a big crowd, you can't make a big church preaching on such negative things. We have to accentuate the positive. We must emphasize those things that elevate love and brotherhood. Really? Really? Who shall not fear thee, O Lord? And yet, my friend, we're living in a day when in post-Christian America, and I'd use that term with a certain amount of remorse, there was a time when this country, John Jay, made the statement, the man on our earliest Supreme Court, John Jay, made the statement about this country. This country was founded not upon religious principle, but upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. Interesting how politically incorrect that has become. Here's an article I pulled off the web. It's a Associated Press, headlined, "Court Affirms Ban on School Bible Classes." And it's dated Tuesday, June the 8th, 4:32 a.m. Eastern Standard Time by the Associated Press, written by a fellow named Bill Poovey, an Associated Press writer. Chattanooga, Tennessee is the point of origin. And it reads as follows. a federal appeals court has upheld a ruling that argued weekly Bible classes are unconstitutional in the public schools of Rhea County, the same county where the Scopes monkey trial pitted creationists against evolutionists 79 years ago. A 3-judge panel of the 6th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Cincinnati agreed Monday with a February 2002 ruling by U.S. District Judge R. Allen Edgar of Chattanooga. Edgar ruled that the Bible Education Ministry program in Rhea County violated the First Amendment's clause calling for separation of church and state. May I intrude here just a moment? Separation of church and state, as it is being promulgated by the liberal press today and by the courts of this land, has nothing to do with the First Amendment constitutional rights. Separation of church and state is defined by the Constitution, by the writers, and by the men who were involved in the Constitution in their private correspondence and in the Federalist Papers and all the rest of it, as being the situation being where the government did not intrude into the church and there was no official denomination or official religion that would dominate the government. They established this because most of them had come from Europe where the countries that they came from had an official state church. They said, we're not going to have that here. On the other hand, what you're seeing pushed today is the idea that the federal government is the enemy of Christianity. That, my friend, is not in the First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States of America. Well, sorry for that outburst. Let's get back, please, to the article. The 30-minute classes, now this is talking about the problem area. This is what this suit was about. The 30-minute classes were held weekly for about 800 students in kindergarten through fifth grade at the county's 3 elementary schools. Parental consent was not required, and students were allowed to participate in alternative activities if they objected to the classes. Rhea County Superintendent Sue Porter said Monday that school board members would likely discuss whether to appeal the latest ruling at their Thursday night meeting. Bible classes had been offered in Rhea County for 51 years. Quote, I'm disappointed, not surprised, though, end quote, Porter said. Now, this is what I would like you, dear listener, to get. The appeals judges ruled that although school officials contended that the classes were value-driven, teaching responsibility and positive morals, they were also teaching the Bible as religious truth. That was their objection. They were teaching that the Bible was true. Now, my friend, I don't think you have to have a Ph.D. in jurisprudence or in theology to understand what's going on here. The problem is they don't believe the Bible and they don't want kids being exposed to the fact that the Bible is religious truth. They are offended by that, and they got this trumped up, fabricated fiction of church and state, separation of church and state. My friend, we are in a sad way. It is not a coincidence, I don't think, that we are in the midst of a study of the book of Revelation. We are living in the last times. Jesus made this made a comment that is rather descriptive, not only of what he called the end time, but unfortunately of our own period in history as well. Jesus said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find the faith on the earth? Now the King James English says, shall he find faith? But in the Greek it says, shall he find the faith, the definitive article. The faith is a determined, a deliberately identifiable position. And that's the faith of Jesus Christ. The article goes on, the county's city of Dayton, about 35 miles northwest of Chattanooga, is where the orator and presidential candidate William Jennings Bryan and the lawyer Clarence Darrow squared off in the courtroom during the 1925 prosecution of teacher John T. Scopes for teaching evolution in the public schools instead of the biblical story of creation. Oh, yes, my goodness. Let's not corrupt these poor, innocent little people with the idea that the Bible might be true. No, we'll go ahead and we'll enforce participation in Earth Day. We will expose them to homosexuality. We will expose them to the black art, the white magic of Wiccan witchcraft. But my goodness, by all means, let's protect these poor little innocents from that monster called Christianity. There are a few other things. Just simply highlighting the fact that God is not feared. God is not respected. Two female Episcopalian rectors have put together a book of sermons based on the religious elements in the lyrics of the ultra-popular secular rock band. Contributors to the book, and this is the title of the book, Get Up Off Your Knees, Preaching the U2 Catalog. Are diverse in their backgrounds, says one of the authors, quote, "We have people who are clearly working from an evangelical framework. We have people who are more from a mainline framework, more from a Catholic framework, but we're united by our commitment to the gospel." The authors have gotten some negative feedback. Quote, "People who have not seen the book often say to me, 'Well, aren't you supposed to preach the Bible? How can you be preaching on U2? Another rock group, U2, is being elevated to the position of equality with the Bible, as authoritative as the Word of God. David had it right. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Another article that came from dickstaub.com on the internet. After more than 50 years, the new evangelicalism has not succeeded in reaching its original goals. Here is seasoned religious observer Richard John Newhouse's summary of the picture of evangelicalism provided by D.G. Hart in a new book. Quote, out of the fundamentalism of the early 20th century came, in the 1940s, the neo-evangelicals, who were determined to move from isolation to engagement, winning the culture for Christ. A half a century later, the result is an amorphous coalition of parachurch movements kept in a state of spiritually adolescent excitements that are exploited by skilled entrepreneurs bent on building their own religious kingdoms. That's the May 4th edition of First Things. One other. Frederick of Saxony, the local prince of the area of Germany in which Martin Luther lived, was famous for his collection of religious relics, a few hairs from the Blessed Virgin, almost 20,000 various holy bones, 13 pieces of the infant Jesus crib. Relics still exist today, and 12,000 people in St. Louis recently filed past a stone from the Last Supper, a piece of the Holy Sepulchre, a shard of wood from the True Cross. The Apostolate of Holy Relics is sponsoring a tour of these items, and each relic has a document of authenticity from the Vatican. Says the Vice President of the Apostolate, visitors are literally in the presence of something very, very holy. Where's the Bible, friend? What does the Bible say? Join me for the next edition of The Bible Says.